peace and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Old Testament reading. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the horrific, appalling murders in Connecticut, the murder and suicide by the Kansas City Chief football player, and of course that same week at Casper College in Wyoming, where I went to junior college and where my brother teaches math, more senseless mayhem and murder. And so the sense of sadness and loss is just immense. This season of Advent this year is certainly overshadowed by enormous pain and enormous anguish. I mean, the grief and the pain, the despair and the depression. I mean, it is so heavy, you can feel it. And of course, this time of the year is also quite hard for those who are widowed and those who are divorced. It is exceedingly difficult for those who grieve the loss of dear loved ones. It is certainly challenging for those who are alone, those who are estranged from their parents or siblings or who live far apart from their families and their dear friends. You can call the pains or anxieties ghosts from the past, like in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, because that's precisely what they are. Ghosts that haunt. Ghosts that disturb and trouble us. Then, of course, there are the everyday stressors and the fears, such as, will the children come home for Christmas? Huh? Will they even take the time to call me? Will I be able to stay in my marriage? Will I be able to rebuild broken relationships that I've ruined? Can I even get through the holiday break without having a knockdown, drag-out fight with my beloved? Can I even stay at my job anymore? Will this surgery or treatment heal me? Will it? Will I be able to pay the bills once Christmas is finally over? Brothers and sisters, it's no wonder then that many dig in and hibernate around this time every year. They go MIA from the time of Thanksgiving all the way through the 12 days of Christmas. Well, thank the Lord then for today. If you learned Latin in school, you'll know what I'm going to say. If not, I'll explain it to you. Today is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete, the Latin for rejoice. It is Rejoice Sunday. That's why the candle on the Advent wreath is rose or pink instead of blue or purple. Because in this little season of somber Advent repentance, the Apostle Paul, as we heard in the epistle, exhorts us to rejoice in the Lord, always. And of course, in case you didn't hear him say it the first time, he says it again. Again, I say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? He says, because the Lord is near. And so too, the Old Testament prophet, Zephaniah. Did you know that there was even such a prophet in the Bible? Ah, there is. And he speaks to Israel of old and to us, the new Israel, that now is the time for song. He says in the text, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Because the Lord has taken away your punishment, he says. He has turned back your enemy. And even more, the prophet says, the Lord, the King of Israel, he is with you. And never again will you fear any harm. Now, I don't know about you, especially what happened on Friday in Connecticut. I need this. I need this word from the Lord through his prophet, Zephaniah. And Zephaniah here is talking about eternal joy, not just holiday cheer. It is a rejoicing that is anchored in the outstanding love of God for his people and for you. It is a joy that is hooked with the eternal word, namely Jesus, who taking on our flesh, who bore all our sin and all its damnation in his body on the cross, so that we are forgiven, and so that we have eternal life. This is a rejoicing that is a fruit of faith in Jesus that only the Holy Spirit can give. Brothers and sisters, Listen again to what the prophet says. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. That king, of course, we all know as Jesus, the Christmas baby. He is indeed the reason for the season. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the cause for great joy, even in the midst of such immense sorrow and pain. This is the time for rejoicing. But you know, when the prophet Zephaniah preached this sermon a long time ago, Israel's days were filled, like our days, with anything but joy. A Gaudete Sunday? Huh, are you kidding me? That was not even on their radar screens. Why? Because Israel was in deep trouble. She had been refusing to hear God's word. She had been refusing to trust in God's promises. She whored after false gods. She depended on false promises. And prophet after prophet that the Lord sent to preach, they were mocked and shunned and persecuted and even put to death. And so as a result of her mistrust and idolatry, Israel's national security, her entire existence was in question and in jeopardy. Bitter enemies from the north amassed their troops along her border. And God, it appeared, was going to allow Israel's enemies to march right into the heart of the country, destroy Israel, the capital, and deport the Israelites into exile. Yeah, Zephaniah preached even about that. You can read about it in chapter 2. I'll read a portion of it to you. Listen, he said, "The great day of the Lord is near. Near and coming quickly. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, darkness and gloom, clouds and blackness." And Zephaniah's name even says something about the times in which he lived. Zephaniah in Hebrew literally means Yahweh or the Lord is hidden. Indeed, that is exactly how it looked. The Lord appeared to be MIA as the invading armies gathered at Israel's northern border. But this is precisely how the Lord works. He forecasts gloom and doom and destruction for those who are stiff-necked and stubborn. But he also proclaims forgiveness and hope and salvation for those who are troubled. The Lord chastens, but he also heals. The Lord kills, but he also raises the dead. He brings the arrogant down low and then raises up the humble. Law. Gospel. The proper distinction. He indeed did send Israel into exile. The armies came. And Israel was taken to a land that was not her own. However, the Lord brought Israel back from her exile, back home, with tremendous rejoicing and singing. He is indeed full of mercy and love, and his forgiveness is greater than Israel's sin. And, you know, really, that's the heart of Christianity. The Lord has more forgiveness than you've got sin. And so this, too, is a cause for a Gaudete Sunday. The Lord has taken away your punishment, the prophet says. He has turned back your enemy. How? Through Jesus. It is Jesus who did battle with your enemies, the devil, death, and sin. Yes, the old evil foe brought sin, death, and destruction into this world and into our lives. He tempted Adam and Eve in the garden to trust him and not God, as if God was lying to them, holding out on them, and keeping them down. "Oh, you shall be as God," the devil hissed. And he tempts us all in the very same way. "Oh, you can't trust God. You can't trust his word. He's a liar. Be God for yourself. Take charge of your life. Leave God out of it." And so it is Jesus then who comes. He is tempted in every way as you and I are in his flesh, but who never sinned. He did this in our place, to crush the head of the serpent, to defeat the devil at his own game by dying and rising from the dead. And so Jesus has turned back your enemy, sin, as well. And he did it by wearing our flesh and blood perfectly without sin. And yet he came to destroy it. How? By absorbing it and bearing it in his body on the cross. All your sin, all of it, was nailed to that tree in the body of Jesus. And all of it was damned there, in, with, and under the crucified body of Jesus, not in you. And so Jesus has turned back your enemies, not the Scythian and Babylonian armed forces that Israel feared, not even the totalitarians, terrorists, and anarchists that threaten us today, but rather the big enemy. The big enemy. Death. There is no greater enemy than death. Just talk to those who've witnessed it firsthand in Connecticut, or those who've lost a loved one or a spouse recently. Death is not your friend. Death is not a power that is to be welcomed, sought after, or legalized by a vote or a court ruling as some kind of selfish right. Seriously, you don't want it. Death is your vicious enemy. It is the very curse of your sin. It is the paycheck that your sin has earned. But Jesus is death's death, death's conqueror in his dying and rising. Yes, Jesus gives you his death-defeating death for your life, for your eternal life. Never again, the prophet says, will you fear any harm. Why? It's because the Lord, your God, the King, is with you, the prophet says, and he is mighty to save. No absentee landlord God with Jesus. He is intimately with you, to be for you, with everything that he is and everything that he has. A holy communion. In the womb of the Virgin, in the manger and on the cross, in the water of your baptism, in the preached word of forgiveness, in the supper of his body and blood. Yes, God, King Jesus, for you, Savior. And so I, together with the apostle, will say today, rejoice. And like the prophet, the Lord is near. He is here for you, the King, the Savior. Your enemies are defeated. And you are saved. Happy Gaudete Sunday. In the name of Jesus.